Mark chapter 14 that I want to read into your spirit. Mark chapter 14, I'm going to start reading at verse 27 through 29, and then we're going to skip to verse 66 through 72. Mark chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus speaks and says, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." Did you get that? Jesus said, all of y'all gonna fall away. And Peter said, "Lord, if everybody leave you, I got your back." Now, verse 66 picks up. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. "You also were with that Nazarene, Jesus," she said, but he denied it. "I don't know or understand what you're talking about," he said, and went out into the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said again to those standing around, "This fellow is one of them." Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." He began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." Immediately, the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. I want to talk about lessons from Peter's pledge. Lessons from Peter's pledge. Y'all gonna help me? The Gospel of Mark presents Jesus as servant of God, and the servant is on his way to Calvary to die and pay for our many and embarrassing sins. On his way to Calvary, Jesus tries to brief his disciples. He don't want them caught off guard. He wanna brace them for what's coming. He says to them, "Brethren, all of you are going to betray me. It's in the cards, it's in the plan that when they strike the shepherd, all of the sheep are going to scatter, but don't worry about it. It's going to be all right." It was in that context that Peter, who's oftentimes known for being rather mouthy, impulsive, speaks and then thinks. In that context, he says, "Lord, in essence, if everybody else leave you, you can count on me." And that sounded so noble, didn't it? I mean, I really think Peter meant well. I mean, he really wanted to be a soldier for the Lord. But when things got rough, when they saw Jesus being arrested, when they saw him being carried away, my God, when they saw and heard him being beaten, their Lord, their master, the one who they thought was going to be running things, when they saw him being beaten, his faith began to falter. People asked, "Aren't you one of them preachers? Didn't I see you hanging with Jesus?" Not once, not twice, but three times, Peter denied our Lord, called down curses upon him if he be found to be a liar. And it was such a crushing situation that the last few words of the 14th chapter of Mark says, "And he broke down and wept." And I don't know if you can be this honest today, but have you ever had to weep about the person you see in the mirror? Have you ever looked at what you wanted to do and looked at what you're actually doing, and the distance between the two made you weep about your own shortcomings? If we could have been there, we could have told Peter, "As bad as you may feel, your faulty, noble pledge is forgivable." Think I ought to tell you that it's the same Peter, when Jesus came back, said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I love you, Lord." Jesus told this Peter, "Then go feed my sheep, go feed my lamb." It's the same Peter after the courtyard that says to the man at Gate Beautiful, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." Same Peter after the courtyard who at least gives inspiration to what we call First and Second Peter. Peter's best days may have been after the courtyard. And somebody has been sent this way to hear this word. Because if the courtyard has not already happened in your life, you don't have to go looking for it. Just keep making it to your next birthday, and the courtyard will come creeping into your life. And if you don't know how to handle it, you can be so crushed by you not living up to your expectation that you will stay in the courtyard, weeping, crying all over the place, when the Lord really wants you to come through the courtyard because he got so much more for you to do. Here's where I'm trying to go. We should be mindful of noble, faulty, and forgivable pledges. Three ideals: noble, faulty, and forgivable pledge. Noble pledge. What in the world would make Peter open his mouth and say, in contradiction to our Lord, "If everybody else leave you, I got your back"? Was it that Peter looked at how good the Lord had been to him and decided that I owe the Lord my best in service? Was it that he was just impetuous, unthoughtful, always flying off at the mouth? Did he have some romantic idea that it's good to die a good death in battle? Who knows what was on Peter's mind? But I do suggest to us that when we look at how good God has been to us, we ought to want to do something noble for the Lord. The Sunday school lesson is coming up soon in Psalms 90, where it says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." When you think about how much bread the Lord has put on your table, how many clothes the Lord has put on your back, how many times God has had a shelter for you in the time of the stormy blast, when you think about how many times God has made your enemies leave you alone, when you think about dangers seen and unseen, that nobody but the Lord brought you through, you ought to want to do something noble for the Lord. When you think about even now in this recession, how most of us have not missed a meal. We may not have gone to the restaurant as much, but I can look at your jaws and see you haven't been missing too many meals. But yet there are others, Haiti, for example, who still suffer from problems that have gone by. The earthquake that most of us have forgotten about, Haiti still grapples with. And if that's not bad enough, they just have this recent outbreak in Haiti. But look at you. God has allowed you to wake up this morning. Make your way to the facility. If you wanted hot water, only thing you had to do was turn this faucet. If you wanted cold water, just turn this faucet. Many of us had to stand in front of the closet and figure out, what do I want to wear today? God is good. And his goodness ought to inspire us to want to do something noble. And it's not just the past, it's not just the present, but the promises of God ought to make us want to do something noble. I mean, he promised that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. It is not yet into the hearts of men what God has prepared for those who love him. He's able to do abundantly, exceedingly, over and beyond whatsoever we ask, whatsoever we think. When you think about the promises of God, something within you ought to make you say, I ought to give God my best in service. Not only the goodness of the Lord, but the conviction of the Holy Spirit ought to move us to want to do something great for the Lord. If you are saved, do you know that the Holy Spirit lives in you and he pushes you to do stuff that you can't take any credit for if you are saved? Now, obviously, that don't include everybody in the room, but act like it includes you. If you are saved, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, pushing you to do what you can't take any credit for. This ideal of wanting to do something noble for the Lord ought not be foreign to us. But I think I better go on and tell you that just like Peter had a noble pledge that proved to be a faulty pledge, somebody sitting in here today need to know, don't look at Peter too harshly. Don't look at him and say, well, look at him. He fell flat on his face. I would never fall flat on my face. If it's in the Bible, it's there for instruction in righteousness. God is trying to tell us something. He's trying to show us something. If Peter can fall, you ought not think you just such a super Christian, such a super disciple, that it will never happen to you. You and I are subject to make a noble pledge. Places I used to go, I don't go anymore. Things I used to say, I don't say anymore. If the Lord just wants somebody, here am I, send me. Here's my mouth, I say what you want me to say. Here's my feet, I go where you want me to go. We can say some good stuff, but when trouble comes our way, you don't know what you will do. Somebody ought to help me here. It's easy to be a Christian sitting in the chair in the sanctuary. It's easy to be a super Christian when it doesn't cost you anything except a little lip service on Sunday morning. But when trouble comes double into your life, I don't want you to be disoriented. I don't want it to shake your cage. I don't want you to lose your perspective when falter comes, even into your churchified life. Somebody here is going to have to learn the hard way that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Somebody's going to have to learn the hard way. I desire to do good, but evil is always present. And you ought to check yourself. And you know, a good measure of how much learning you have to do in this area is you check how critical you are when you hear of the failures of others. Think about it. It's so unfortunate. I'm praying that Bishop Long is not what the media say he is. I don't know. I hope. I'm praying that it's not true. But there are too many folk who rejoice in the possibility that is right. I told you he wasn't all of that. I told you them preachers are no good. And we began to get a great big roller to paint with instead of a fine trim brush. But listen, the measure you use to judge others will be the measure used to judge yourself. You better be careful, because all have sinned, and I can add, all are sinning and falling short of God's glory. None of us are just all of that. Now, I hope we're better than we used to be, but none of us are as far along as we ought to be. Failure, falter can come into all of our life. At our best, we're dirty, filthy rags. And sometimes our own shortcomings can make us feel like weeping. Sometimes our own shortcomings can make us feel like weeping. When we think about all that God has invested in us, and then look at how little return on God's investment has been realized, it can make tears shake hands under our chin. Some of us came from church going homes. This is not the first time we've been in church. Mama drug us to church. Daddy may not have went, but he whooped us if we didn't go to church. This is not our first encounter. We know about the Bible. We know about God. This is not a strange experience for us. But when we look at how much has been put in us, and then how little has come out of us, it can make us weep. When we think about the rich history of our people, and in particular, the history of the Black Baptist Church experience, and we look at how people who had so little but did so much, and then we look at how much God has given us and how little we do, period, but my God, how little we do together, is enough to make us weep. If this generation had to start an NAACP, it would never have made it. If this generation had to create an urban league, it would never have happened. If this generation had to create a Hampton University, a Shaw, a Morehouse, a Spelman, a Fisk, it would have never happened. Because somehow along the way, we have lost the we in our Christianity. It's all about me. And I don't care how strong you are, you can't be a body all by yourself. Now, sometimes it seems as if it's easier just not to be bothered. But at the end of the day, we need one another. And when we look at how difficult it is for us to carry out God's will, and if we use as our comparison our foreparents, and when we think about how little they had, but how much they did, with a half a dozen eggs, nickels, dimes, and occasional quarters. And here we have money in both pockets. Even though we are overspent, when you look at how far the Lord has brought us, and now look at the comparative investment, it ought to make you want to weep. But thank God, we don't have to close the sermon up like that. My goodness, that'd be a terrible way to close the sermon. I gotta tell you, it was a noble pledge. It was a faulty pledge. But I really wanted to leave time to tell you, it was a forgivable pledge. As wrong as Peter was for denying my Lord, that's not the end of the story. And somebody is here today to hear this word from the preacher, that no matter how bad you have faltered, no matter how you promised God the sky and couldn't even give him a little molehill, God is not mad with you. It is a forgivable pledge. This same Peter was used by the Lord to feed his sheep and feed his lambs after the courtyard. Now, I want to be clear. You ought to do the very best you can to keep your word. When you join a church, you enter into a covenant relationship. And you ought to do the best you can to hold up your side of the covenant. The Bible says God hates a lying tongue. And that's just about what's happening when you keep saying what I'm going to do, and before the words get out of your mouth, you know you're not even thinking about doing what you promised. That's called a lying tongue. Don't get comfortable lying to the Lord. But when you have made a pledge of good faith and your best is just not good enough, when you really try to do right, but evil was present. I mean, you didn't set out. It wasn't in your planner. It was not premeditated sin. You went out with a mind to do good. And somehow, in some way, you faltered along this journey. I got good news for you. That my God's grace is sufficient. I'm thankful for passages like 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. You remember it says that if we say we have no sin, we lie and the truth is not in us. But thanks be unto God, if we would confess our sins, God is faithful and God is just to forgive us of our sins and then cleanse us from all iniquities. I like that latter phrase, all of our iniquities, all of our transgressions, all of our sins. The reason I like that part is because there are people in your life and in mine who will forgive you for some of your transgressions, some of your sins. But what I love about my Lord is that if I can just come clean, if I can just tell the Lord, Lord, is not my brother, is not my sister, but is me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Look what the Lord will do. He will pick you up. He'll turn you around. He will clean you up and place your feet on a higher ground. Ain't God all right? What I'm trying to get you to see is the Lord has grace for all of our faltering. Did you hear me? God's grace, it is sufficient for all of our sins. I'm trying to get you to see that faltering does not have to be fatal. I know sin can make you feel so low down. I know sin can make you feel so low, but you don't have to waddle in guilt. You can call on the Lord who prides himself on doing those things that are impossible with mere human beings. I wish I had a witness here. Y'all gonna make me testify about why I know so much about Peter in the courtyard. I know what it means to cry about me. Did you hear me? I know about quiet moments, when I can't blame my sin on my preacher or on my deacon. In quiet moments, I can't blame it on my choir, on my church family. In quiet moments, the Holy Ghost has a way of lifting a mirror in front of me. I'm so glad I can call on the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry for all of my sin. I'm sorry for my shortcoming. Let me tell you what the Lord can do. If you let him, he will clean you up and start you on a brand new way. But it's up to you to receive the grace of God. You know life will let you have a pity party. Life will let you stay in the courtyard. But I got good news for you. Jesus hung, bled, and died so you can tell the Lord all about your sin. Jesus hung, bled, and died so you and I can come out of the courtyard. You and I can dry our weeping eyes. You and I can come to the throne of grace in spite of our sin, because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. I feel my help. Lord have mercy. I gotta tell you this. Peter's best days may have been after the courtyard. And somebody here need to catch this point. Your best days are in front and not behind. Lord have mercy. I know there's somebody here who's done some low-down things, but thanks be unto God, there is no sin that's not common unto man. Whatever you've done, the Lord has saw it before. Whatever you haven't done, the Lord got enough grace to cover that as well. You can come out of the courtyard and let the Lord do a new thing in your life. Can I tell you one more thing about the courtyard? The courtyard can teach you about empathy. Did you hear me? The courtyard can teach you how to adjust your expectation and your response to the failures in others. Did you hear me? Before the courtyard, you got a bunch of Bible stories in your head. Before the courtyard, you know how it should be. But after the courtyard, you have a personal testimony that when your best is not good enough, grace can come in and make up the rest. Did you hear me? And there's nothing like being a recipient to help you be a distributor. Did you hear me? You gotta get it in order to give it. Lord have mercy. You gotta receive some grace, some mercy, and forgiveness in order to give grace, mercy, and forgiveness. That's all my time. Thank y'all for being so patient. But I'm kind of glad that Peter faltered in the courtyard. If he had not faltered, I don't know what I would have done in my own courtyard experience. If it were not for his model, his example, I may have been weeping in the courtyard right now. But since what God has done for others may be amazing, but it's no secret what God can do. Whatever he's done for others, he's able to do it for you and you and me. Ain't God all right? I gotta come in to him. But is it anybody here that got a made up mind to keep on serving the Lord? Please don't let your faltering, don't let your sin, don't let your shortcomings stop you. Get up, tell the Lord all about it. Receive his grace and his mercy, and move on to the next chapter in your life. This is not the end of the story. There is another chapter. Keep on praying. Keep on pressing. There is another chapter. Repeat after me. There is another chapter in my life. There is another chapter in my life. There is another chapter in my life. And God will take care of his own. You don't have to give up. You don't have to quit. I know sin can make you cry. I know you meant well, fell flat on your face, feel so low down, feel like a failure. And there are some folk who will make you feel like a failure. There are some folk who will help you feel low down. But thanks be unto God, if you confess your sins unto God, God is faithful to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all iniquity. Your best days can be in front of you. Your best days can be in front of you. You don't have to stay in the shape that you're in. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things